and a half away from actual, real, meaningful football games. Getting you ready for the 2016 Bears season right here on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Fishbane, back in the saddle, back in studio. You can follow me on Twitter, at KFishbane. Of course, got my executive producer here, Dan Mott. Today's show, we're wrapping up the preseason. We are taping this on Tuesday, 2 days before the Bears preseason finale in Cleveland, and 4 days before they cut the roster down to 53. We're going to have a 53-man roster projection in the second half of the show today. I'll give you who I think are going to be the final 53. I've never actually done one of these before, but I'm going to do it for you, the podcast listener. So stay tuned for that. And the guest we will have in just a couple minutes, Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, a great NFL expert, awesome insight, the former scout who is an analyst for NFL Network and hosts his podcast, the Move the Sticks podcast. Be sure you're following all of our work on Twitter at @Bears_Insider, Snapchat as well, @Bears_Insider. And all of our stories at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Bears cut down their roster to 75 players today. By doing so, they made a couple roster transactions as opposed to cuts, moving Hronis Grassou and Connor Shaw to the injured reserve list and Roy Robertson Harris to the non-football illness list, and then waive injured Lamine Barrow. So if he clears waivers, he reverts to their IR list. Most of the other cuts were not too shocking. A lot of undrafted rookies, first-year guys who were not expected to make the team. A couple of those guys could certainly return via the practice squad. And as we get to my 53-man projection, I don't expect some giant surprise coming from the Bears' cuts on Saturday, but it's the NFL. You never know. We're recording this just a few minutes after Mike Zimmer's press conference in Minneapolis, to Teddy Bridgewater suffered a significant knee injury. Just brutal news for the Vikings. You hate to see things like that. You know, just a good young quarterback, supposed to be a very good team this year, opening the brand new stadium, and here he is, you know, 12 days away from the opener, and has a non-contact fluke injury like that. So, you know, it's a crazy business sometimes. It's a crazy game. It can be a scary game. But, you know, we will focus here on the Bears and what's to come. I don't want to recap Saturday's game against the Chiefs because I don't think any of you want to hear anything about that game. I don't even know what I would say about that game that hasn't already been said. I mean, they didn't look very good, but it's also the preseason. They had a lot of guys hurt. So, you know, look, I've said it probably on this podcast. I'll say it next week too. I'm predicting this team to go 8-8. I don't think they're that good right now, but I think if things can come together with this coaching staff, and it's a somewhat favorable schedule on paper, and it's the NFL. You got weird things happen in these games. Just look at what happened to the Bears last year in a couple of those close games that they won and some of the ones that they lost that you didn't expect them to lose. So, you know, we'll know a lot more about this team on September 12th following the opener in Houston. But we're going to learn more about this team, specifically their draft picks. Kevin White, Jay Cutler, broke all of that down with the former NFL scout and NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah right now here on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Joined right now by Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. He's also the host of the Move the Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. And Daniel, hopefully our folks follow you on Twitter because I saw you're almost at the 200,000 milestone. So first off, congratulations on that.
No, I appreciate it. That's it's pretty nuts when you just look at all the people that are on Twitter, period. I mean, and then you go, oh, 200,000 is a lot of people. Then you look around, see some of these other people. I think I'm about 94 million behind Katy Perry, but I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up yet.
Hey, you got to shoot for the stars. You got to have high bar in this business. Before we get your insight on the Bears, I want to talk to you as someone who was
who evaluates talent and did it for teams prior to moving to NFL Network about these preseason games, because we're coming up on the final two, and I feel like teams are almost being even more careful with some of their veterans as they are in the past. What are these preseason games like? Because obviously you're looking at other teams' guys too if you're a scout for an NFL team. Can you maybe walk us through what it's like to use these preseason games as a tool to evaluate talent?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You got to try and run on two different tracks. You've got to get your team ready to play. You want to be ready to go when you get to week one. So you want to try and find some kind of a rhythm and get guys out there, get comfortable playing with each other. You've got some new veteran pieces, some new high picks you want to do, mix into the squad there. But you also want to evaluate young players. And I almost think it's kind of changed with how this has worked over the last few years. And we've seen so many seasons get derailed by injuries in the preseason that these teams are just more cautious. So whereas before, maybe it was 80% of your focus was get your team ready to play for the regular season, and 20% it was used as an evaluation tool for the back end of your roster and some of the younger guys. I think now it's probably more like 50-50. And you're seeing a lot of these veteran guys playing one preseason game, if that. So to me, it's the most important thing is getting out of the preseason with your key players healthy. And the next most important thing is that you're in a nice rhythm and you're ready to go. But I think the health thing has definitely taken the forefront here.
And one of the players that for the Bears, it's kind of important for everyone to see how he looks in the preseason is their top pick, Leonard Floyd, because there were just questions about how he would be able to translate what we saw in college to the NFL game. And I wanted to get your assessment on Floyd and maybe what you think he can bring to Vic Fangio's defense.
Well, I think he's solid with the versatility. That's going to be a nice tool there for Vic. I was around Vic a little bit in Baltimore. He's very smart. He's very creative. And he'll be able to do some unique things with him. I don't imagine you're going to see a whole lot of that in the preseason of exactly how he's going to be used. I think, you know, kind of you look at a guy like a Jamie Collins with the Patriots, who's just turned into a stud, just a fantastic player. And he's somebody you can play inside, you could play him outside, you can cover a tight end, you can do all these different things for Bill Belichick. I think eventually that Floyd's going to have a chance to do a lot of the same things. But initially, I think you'll probably see him major in trying to get after the quarterback a little bit off the edge.
And lucky for the Bears, I mean, they're pretty deep at that edge rusher position, even with Pernell McPhee still on the pup list, and they invested a lot in that defensive line too, which brings me to my question, and I think you're going to have great insight on this, knowing Vic Fangio, knowing defenses. The Bears don't have a lot of money or a lot of experience in that secondary, and as guys have gotten hurt at corner, they haven't gone out and gotten veterans. They're going with rookies, they're going with younger guys. Obviously, you know, you follow the money in the league, they're focused on that pass rush and stopping the run. With what you know about Vic Fangio's defense, you know, what does he kind of expect out of those defensive backs, and does that kind of balance of power in terms of where they're putting their emphasis surprise you at all in terms of the front versus the back end?
Well, you always have different philosophies, you know, when you talk about coaches. And a lot of people, I would say probably the majority, believe that the front end affects the back end. In other words, you invest heavily in your front, and that's going to take a lot of pressure off your back end. And there's other people that believe, you know, hey, we're going to invest in secondary, and when we can lock people up, it's going to allow us to throw more bodies at the front to be able to stop the run and get after the quarterback and kind of be creative with what we can do there because of what you have with the secondary. I think Fangio, just, you know, from where he's been and his experiences, especially look at San Francisco, dominant, you know, a dominant front, and that's kind of what they want to get to. And John Fox, you can go track his history. Now, he's been some places where they've been great all the way around, but if you had to pick one, you want to be able to be dominant up front, and I think that's where you've seen Ryan Pace kind of allocate their resources. And they're kind of trying to build from the front to the back, and I think when you look at what he wants specifically in the back end, intelligence has always been a big deal there. You know, got to know what to do. Got to have great eyes, play with discipline, not let the ball get over your head. That's kind of what that philosophy is.
Mm-hmm. And sticking with the defense, that defensive line, you have last year's second-round pick, Eddie Goldman, and this year's third-round pick, Jonathan Bullard, a guy that it seemed like draft analysts around the country really liked that pick of Bullard, and we've seen some of that get-off so far, and they really like what Goldman's been able to do. How do you see those two kind of working off each other, not just this season, but maybe into the future for this Bears defensive front?
So I think it's a beautiful combination. And I just go back to where I was. Those two guys, pre-draft process. I think Eddie Goldman I had as like an 18th overall player. So I thought that was value where they got him. And then Bullard, I believe, I had 30s. And somebody that just, like you said, get off. And, again, somebody you can move around. I think they've done a nice job in what they've accumulated. They've got a lot of guys that are versatile. Even Goldman. I mean, Goldman is just a big, powerful man. And I think, you know, we saw last year, and I thought this coming into the draft process, that he's a little more athletic and had a little more upside as a pass rusher than people gave credit for. And I think you're going to see that continue to emerge a little bit quicker than people think. I think you could even move him up and down the line of scrimmage, depending on where you want to, you know, find a mismatch. But, yeah, you talk about the strength overall of Goldman and the quickness of Bullard. That's a nice combination to have.
Let's flip to the offense right now, talking with Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, and, of course, host of the Move the Sticks podcast. Kevin White is the guy that most Bears fans are just, you know, out of their heads excited to see. And they've had to wait a year to see him. We've seen the size, speed, and athleticism at practice a little bit in the games. But from what you remember of your pre-draft look at him, you know, I know a lot of people wondered about the route tree and being able to transition. You know, what do you think about Kevin White in terms of what his potential is for this will be his first year on the field?
Well, I mean, his long-term potential is there's no ceiling there. I mean, I went all in on him early on in the process. I had him as a number two player in the whole draft. And the unique combination of the size, speed, toughness, and the ball skills to go get it. You know, look, they didn't ask him to line up on one side. They didn't ask him to run a variety of routes. But I saw a guy who didn't have any stiffness at all, and that's the first thing that I would look for. If you're talking about a guy being able to run every route, can he get in and out of break? Well, maybe I hadn't been asked to do a whole lot of it, but he doesn't have any physical limitations that tell me he won't eventually get there. He will. And I think somebody, especially early on in his career, he can do a whole lot of damage while he's learning to do all this other stuff. I mean, if you just get the ball in his hands, let him run after the catch, you'll see bubbles, you'll see quick wide receiver screens. You'll see him run by people down the field, take off routes, you'll see, you know, slants, all that. He can do all that stuff to sleep. Now, in terms of him being a refined guy on a compact route, some of these other underneath stuff, you talk about getting out of your break on a dig. He's gonna get there. He's gonna get more reps. He's gonna figure all that stuff out. But I think he's plenty capable of doing a lot of damage as he learns.
All right, Daniel, I'm contractually obligated to ask you about Jay Cutler. We ask every guest about him. We kind of, you know, you kind of have to. And what's interesting about Jay this year is I think we're all talking about him a lot less when we cover this team, just because he is who he is. But that's what I wanted to get maybe your take on. He's always been that he is who he is guy. And then last year with Adam Gase, he showed an efficiency and a ability to protect the football that we hadn't seen. Now when you get his receivers back and you get a new offense, that you get a new play caller, you wonder at this point in his career, can he maybe take another step? And I don't like to jump out there and say it because Bears fans are so sick of, is this the year for Cutler? But can a quarterback like him at this point in his career, can he take another step forward when he has guys around him like Jeffrey and Kevin White?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that him personally taking steps forward is really where the focus is. I think it's more about, okay, we know who Jay is. We know what he's capable of. He's a talented player. He's a good player. He's not an elite top tier guy. But knowing what he is, let's put all the pieces around him that will make him better and not necessarily ask him to kind of lift everybody else's performance around him. I think they've done a nice job of putting some pieces in place around him that are going to make Jay Cutler look good. And that's been the challenge for him all along, just having those consistent guys around him. We saw Brandon Marshall and Jeffrey when he had those guys out there and had a forte. But then he had offensive line issues. So it's trying to find that balance, being able to protect him, being able to also put the weapons outside around him. And I think we'll see a little bit of that mature Jay that we saw last year. And I do think there is a capability for him to take that next step, although I don't necessarily think it's just because of him. I think it's what they're doing around him. I just, from a quarterback standpoint, the one thing that concerns me is just the instability on the coaching side. You know, you'd like to just let him park it in one system with one play caller, really, really get that relationship developed and let it grow. And that just hasn't been able to happen here.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple more questions here with Daniel Jeremiah. And Daniel, I ask you to put on that personnel evaluator hat and think about the way GMs think and owners around the league with the quarterback spot, the Bears are one of several teams that they're kind of in the middle where they're not going to be so bad where they'll get a top pick next year. And but then again, you know, Jay Cutler's not going to be the quarterback, you know, 5 to 10 years. He's not necessarily going to be the franchise guy. So, you know, what do you believe in terms of philosophies of, you know, what the Eagles did obviously this past year in terms of, you know, just going ahead and going and getting Carson Wentz versus teams that have somebody like a Jay Cutler who you can continue to win with, but he might not be the guy, and just kind of waiting and waiting until you're in an opportunity to get the franchise quarterback?
Well, I think you're always on the look. You know, I always kind of use the phrase, if you can't envision your quarterback, you know, hoisting a trophy up in the air with confetti falling on top of him, then you're still in the quarterback market. You know, maybe he's capable of getting you 10 wins, 11 wins, but you don't think he's the guy that can get you to a championship, then you're still looking for one. And I think that's where I would put the Bears. I think they, you know, I think Jay's somebody, you hit it. You can win with him. I don't know if you can win the whole thing. In fact, I don't think you can. So, you know, you're constantly evaluating these guys each and every year. And as we've seen, you know, we kind of assume you've got to take that guy in the top five in order to get one. Well, we've seen some guys hit now in these middle rounds. And, you know, I would be surprised if we don't see them in the next couple of drafts. You know, really, really try and hone and see if they can't identify that next guy.
Last question, one more on the offensive side of the ball. You talked about the guys around Jay, and he loses Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett. And Ryan Pace, I mean, there were efforts, the C.J. Anderson and some other tight ends. They thought about other guys, but they decided not to replace Forte and Bennett. They just promoted Jeremy Langford at running back, Zach Miller at tight end. That philosophy and that decision, and knowing what you know, especially about Langford coming out of the draft 2 years ago, how do you think that whole thing is going to kind of factor in for this, the way this offense can move the ball this season?
I think they're going to be fine. You know, I think you know, at the running back position, my thing is, if it ever gets to be remotely close in terms of the talent, you know, what you have on your roster, you're always going to, the tie goes to the younger guy because you know, you know, he's got more in front of him. And, you know, as productive as Matt had been there for a long time, I think you can look at that situation and understand that decision. And at the tight end position, you know, Bennett, he's a very unique guy, as you all know down there. But I think Miller showed what he can do. It did a nice job last year. So I think they're going to be fine in both of those spots. I think those were big, big names that left and you know, have put together really nice careers. But I think they felt comfortable with what they had there and decided to put their resources in a different area. And I get it.
All right, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. Be sure to get his podcast, The Move of Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks. And you flip on NFL Network almost any evening this week, you'll catch Daniel Jeremiah breaking down these preseason games that we are so looking forward to being over and talking about real football soon. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck with everything you do this season.
Oh, yeah, let's have a preseason is dead party here pretty soon.
Exactly. All right, thank you.
All right, take care.
Big thanks again to Daniel Jeremiah. Really interesting to see from a scouting perspective what he thinks about Leonard Floyd and Kevin White especially. I mean, the way he talked about White, I know White had a bit of a shaky preseason with his routes, and Jay Cutler kind of talked about that. But you can tell by just hearing what Jeremiah said and from seeing Kevin White, there is all the potential in the world there. It's just going to take some time. And let's transition here and talk about Loot Crate, our sponsor, because when you think about time and being patient, there's no patience this month for your Loot Crate, because we're talking speed. The need for speed, this month's Loot Crate theme is high octane with a lot of assortment of goodies from Batman, Flash, Arrow, Battlestar Galactica, Iron Man, a lot of good options there. Maybe throw a Speed Racer in there. Loved Speed Racer growing up. What is Loot Crate, you may ask? You get a mystery box every month delivered to you. And if you use our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W, go to lootcrate.com/SHAW. You get $3 off your first crate. And we're talking tons of great franchises that you're going to get. Harry Potter, Marvel Comics, Star Wars. These crates, less than $20 a month. So come geek out with Loot Crate and make sure to use our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W. And this month, it's all about the speed. Gone in 60 seconds. One of Nicolas Cage's best movies, I think, right there. Right up there with The Rock. of Nicolas Cage movies. Maybe you get something there, and maybe even Mario Kart. So who's your character in Mario Kart, Dan Mott?
I'm usually going Yoshi.
Oh, you got to go Yoshi.
Got to go Yoshi.
Yeah.
We had this conversation
with Mark Mariani.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who said Bowser, which is just – I told Mark, I mean, I lost a little bit of respect for him.
You might be able to go Toad, maybe a little Toad.
Toad and Peach are fine, but you can't go Bowser.
No, he's the heaviest.
No,
he's
you can't
slow
do
you
it.
Down.
Only in battle. In battle mode you can do it. But anyways, maybe you'll get a Mario Kart item in your loot crate for the month of September coming up. Be sure to use our promo code SHAW at lootcrate.com/SHAW. All right, Dan, our listeners and you, because you're sitting across from me, you'll get the privilege of hearing me try to project a 53-man roster.
You ready for it?
I had to do it. That song played only one time on Saturday at Soldier Field. We'll see how many times it plays when they open the home season against the Eagles on Monday night in Week 2. So, again, we are doing this on Tuesday afternoon. We are 4 days away from cut Saturday afternoon. Be sure to follow Bears_Insider on Twitter all day Saturday and Sunday as these moves are made. And looking at this roster, you're not going to see a whole lot of surprises. Let's go position by position, and then we'll get down to the bottom here. Quarterback, I got them keeping two, Jay Cutler, Brian Hoyer, and I think they'll try to sneak David Fales to the practice squad. Running back, four guys, pretty easy here, Jeremy Langford, Kadeem Carey, Jordan Howard, Jaquizz Rodgers. That's the four running backs they have. I don't see any of them getting cut or them trying to put Howard in the practice squad. That wouldn't happen. So I think they're fine with those four. Wide receiver, it's where things get interesting. Here we go. Jeffrey White locks. Lock him in. I'm calling Eddie Royal a lock. I know some people questioning it, but look, they already paid the guy $4.5 million. They know what he can do when healthy. Calling it a lock. Also throwing Mark Mariani and Josh Bellamy onto the roster. That's six wide receivers. I think Mariani is your best backup at the slot receiver position. Great rapport with Jay Cutler. He's your punt returner right now. Josh Bellamy, very valuable on special teams. Do they carry seven? I don't know. Marquise Wilson will probably start the season on the pup list. It doesn't count against the 53. So here's who we're leaving off. Deontay Thompson, who I think would have had a really good shot to make this team if he was healthy as a kickoff returner, but he's got that ankle injury. B.J. Daniels, keep an eye on him Thursday night. I expect him to do a lot of returning. Maybe he's good enough at kickoff returns that they find a way to keep him. I think it'd be hard to keep a kickoff returner only who's not going to help you at receiver and Mark Mariani. But, you know, something to monitor. But this one, maybe this guy who I don't have on the roster right now might be the most surprising cut. Daniel Braverman.
That is surprising.
Seventh round pick, the star of training camp. But who do you put him on the team over? That's the question. I don't see the Bears keeping three slot receivers. Do you put Braverman in over Mariani? And I say at this point, Braverman hasn't shown enough to tell me that he's going to help the team more. He's a seventh round pick. You're not talking about a first through fourth rounder. And it's not like you're paying Mark Mariani a ton of money. They're fine with the cap. I think they might be able to sneak Braverman in the practice squad too. Let's remember that a lot of the hype around him is what we saw in Bourbonnais. It's not like he's putting up good tape in preseason games. Another guy left off the list is Cameron Meredith. He's another guy to kind of keep an eye on this week because he's an outside receiver. So he could be in backup for Alshon Jeffery and Kevin White. The question with him is special teams. Josh Bellamy is in because of what he does on special teams. Meredith does not do that. Let's go to the most confusing position here, Dan. Tight end. Zach Miller, obviously he's in. I have them keeping three tight ends, and I have no idea. I really don't. You can blast me for us on Twitter, at KFishbane, or blast Dan at Mott's Thoughts. Right now I have Carly Lee and Rob Housler. 5 minutes ago I had Greg Scruggs and Rob Housler. 2 hours ago, I had Tony Moyaki and Greg Scruggs. Two of those four. I mean, they all have their pluses and minuses. This is a position that they could add someone on Sunday to be the guy. Remember, Sunday last year of cutdown week was when they added Harold Jones-Corte, who's now your starting safety. So keep an eye on that position to see if they claim somebody off waivers on Sunday. But I went with Lee and Housler because their familiarity with the system. Lee, your blocker. Housler, your receiving option. But Moyaki and Scruggs can do that as well.
Does that depth scare you?
I think they know it's their thinnest and weakest position on the roster. They tried to make some additions. They couldn't in the offseason. Miller has to stay healthy. Yeah. It really does. But that is absolutely their thinnest position. Offensive line, you got your starting five, Long, Larson, Whitehair, Massey, Leno. I got the backups. Gary Williams I have as your backup swing tackle. I think he's competing with Mike Adams right now. I'll give the edge to Gary Williams. Jason Weaver as your backup guard. I give him the edge over Mini Silatolu because Weaver right now has just been healthier. He's gotten more reps. And then there's Cornelius Edison, would be the eighth guy. And if Long is healthy next week, they don't need to keep Edison. They might even only keep seven offensive linemen. But I think they might have to hold on to Edison just in case. Or do they bring in Silatolu or Mike Adams and get Edison to the practice squad? Maybe they weren't impressed with him. I think he did fine. I think he did enough to stay with the team in some capacity. But though that offensive line, in terms of the backups, that's going to be a question mark amongst, you know, how many do they keep? And of those backups I just mentioned, who stays? Dan, who do you think is going to be the long snapper, Aaron Brewer or Patrick Scales? You have a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, I mean, is this your...
I'm surprised they still have two long snappers. Aaron Brewer, I figured, was going to win the job. He came over from Denver, so he got the connection with John Fox and Jeff Rogers, but they haven't made a move there yet.
You love these competitions, though.
Love a long snapper battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't timed yet who is the quickest snap back to the holder. Maybe I'll do that while I'm watching the boring Cleveland game on Thursday. One of those guys will get cut. I went with Aaron Brewer for now. We'll see. Defensive side of the ball, you know you're starting four on the D-line, Hicks, Bullard, Unrein, Goldman. I have Will Sutton and Cornelius Washington, two of the longest tenured Bears on the team as your backups. I think Sutton is a good for the backup nose. He just plays with I think I saw ESPN's Jeff Dickerson say, is a sense of urgency. You see that energy out there, the ability to penetrate. And Cornelius Washington has had a good preseason. If he can stay healthy, I think he's an asset for them, also on special teams. And that's the other thing that gives those two an edge over former second-round pick Ego Ferguson. I have getting cut. Just doesn't have it on special teams, and I don't think he's going to make the team. Inside linebacker, five guys, Danny Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman, John Timu, Jonathan Anderson, and Nick Kwiatkoski. Kwiatkoski, the fourth-round pick, you're not going to cut a fourth-rounder. They haven't seen much of him because of the hamstring injury. He sticks to the roster. Timu and Anderson are good on special teams. Obviously, your stars are Trevathan and Freeman. I could see if Kwiatkoski had stayed healthy all summer long, I think they could have kept four here and maybe tried to get Jonathan Anderson or John Timu. I don't know if they practiced quite eligible, but cut one of those guys. But because Kwiatkoski hasn't been healthy, I think you go with Timu and Anderson for special teams. Outside linebacker, Leonard Floyd, Willie Young, Sam Acho, Lamar Houston. I think Acho's had a good preseason. He's good on special teams. Look, Lamar Houston led the team in sacks last year. They're paying him a lot of money to not be a starter. I don't know if he's going to stay on the team the whole year. I don't know if he's going to be on the team next year. But right now, with Pernell McPhee, at this point, I think he might start the season of pup list. That does not count against the 53. I think you have to keep Lamar Houston on the team.
He's been doing good things in this preseason, too.
He's had a nice preseason. He has the strength that you get from McPhee. I think that, you know, if McPhee was fully healthy and you knew what you had, maybe they could look at trading Lamar Houston and doing something there. But, I think Lamar Houston can help them. It's just hard to see how they're going to rotate that. A lot of that depends on Leonard Floyd. And, yes, I should mention, my 53 right now, I have McPhee on the pup list, which means he would miss the first six games of the season. Corner, your top three are in Tracy Porter, Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, and your draft pick, DeAndre Hall. I have Sherrick Manis in. That's number five because of special teams. About an hour before we recorded this, the Bears claimed Kaywan Williams off waivers from Cleveland. He is a nickel. They don't really have a good backup nickel. When you claim a guy like that, you got to give him a little bit of an edge because one of my guys on the outside looking in right now is Demontre Hurst, who has been their backup nickel. So I think that final cornerback spot between Kaywan Williams and Demontre Hurst, if Williams is healthy, had some concussion issues in Cleveland, and he was suspended in Cleveland, he's got to get that sorted out with the front office here. One of those guys makes it. Jacoby Glenn, I think, makes the team if they don't believe Porter and Fuller are ready. He's their outside corner, backup outside corner along with DeAndre Hall. I think you got to keep him at this point. Safety, your starters, Amos and Jones Corte. Your draft picks, Deion Bush and DeAndre Houston Carson. And then Chris Brzezinski for special teams. Dan, based on everybody I just said, I have one spot left.
What do you got?
And so I have right now K'Juan Williams in over DeMontre Hurst. I think those could be flipped. I mentioned the tight end situation. I think it could be any mixture of those four guys being the final two tight ends. Same thing with the backup offensive lineman, any mixture of those five guys being the final three. Number roster spot number 53 on my projection is going to go to fullback.
Oh, okay.
Paul Lasike. We still haven't seen him use it very much, but he's been an asset on special teams. I think they like what he can bring. They're curious about using a fullback at some point. And I think the way this roster broke down with that one spot open and with what he can do in the kicking game, I'm giving that to the former rugby player from New Zealand. And if he makes a team, we got to get him on the podcast. He's got a great accent. So that is my 53-man roster projection. As I said, the biggest name that wouldn't be on this roster would be Daniel Braverman, Cameron Meredith, Deontay Thompson. I mean, you can't keep all those receivers. And, you know, I just gave the edge to Marion Bellamy. Now, they could keep a seventh receiver, but, you know, with the injuries on defense, with the questions on the offensive line, that's what makes this thing such a puzzle, is trying to figure this out. So that's my 53-man roster projection. Now, the one thing to remember, on Saturday afternoon, I'm going to make it very clear in my headline. Bears set initial 53-man roster. They're going to have like 25 different 53-man rosters this season. They're going to have different 53-man rosters between Saturday and when they report back to Hallis Hall on Monday, because they'll claim someone on Sunday. You're always going to almost always claim one or two guys, and this Bears team is the type of team that would claim someone. There's going to be tons of changes. So Saturday afternoon, you're going to get your initial 53, and then that is very subject to change.
Do you think that the Bears at any point over the next couple weeks start taking a look at a kicker?
You are hating on Robbie.
I don't mean to hate on Robbie.
Hating on Robbie Gould. But, I actually got asked that recently, and I don't think they're going to go down that path right now.
Yeah.
I think Robbie just had a little bit of a rough patch last week. Look, first 8 weeks of the season last year, he was the best player on the team.
Yeah.
And obviously they'll keep their eye open, I'm sure, if he continues to struggle. But right now it's hard for me to see them kind of making too many adjustments there. I just imagine that, you know, for one thing, that Robbie's been here for so long, I think they trust him. And I think if they were concerned, they would have had a rookie in camp at some point. They never did. You know, 90 guys, you could have had somebody in there, and they didn't have one. So I think right now they're okay. Clearly you're not. Hating on the kicker. But I understand. I mean, again, you're not the only one who's had that question mark about them. But so, yeah, here's the schedule. So we got Thursday, preseason game, the finale in Cleveland against the Browns. Saturday, 10:30 a.m., you turn on WCIU The U in Chicago. You can watch the debut episode this season, season 3, the premiere of Chicago Football Now. Hub, Arthur, and myself, Dan Mott, doing great work behind the scenes there. Big cliffhanger at the end of season 2.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll have to see how we open season 3. And then as Saturday goes along, follow me on Twitter, follow Bears_Insider. We'll keep you up to date on all the roster moves. We'll have stories up at profootballweekly.com/Bears into Sunday. Monday, you might all have off for Labor Day, but we'll be at Hallis, first Bears practice, really, of the 2016 regular season. And then the next day, we'll come back with a new podcast. And, Dan, next week, we're previewing Bears-Texans.
Bears-Texans, yeah.
It's almost here. So that'll do it for this week's edition of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, PFW's Chicago football podcast. How about that? I like that. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Follow everything on Twitter, of course, at Bears_Insider, and add us on Snapchat, Bears_Insider. Thank yous to Pass Around. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network joined us earlier in the show. My executive producer, doing everything today, Dan Mott, thank you once again. And thank you to our listeners. I'm Kevin Fishbane. We got a game to talk about and more Bears Talk next week.